What's up, Los Angeles and beyond? I'm glad we reached you. I'm glad you reached us. This is Neighborhood Love Radio. My name is Johnny Scott Gramercy. My honor to be your host and selector this evening. Tonight, nothing, just the usual finest in soul and funk playlist. I got The Rebirth, James Brown. I'm going to play some of the Lions from Los Angeles. Ronnie Hudson. Also tonight, expected in the studio, Jason Easton. He's a local Los Angeles ramen chef and restaurateur. And he's a carpenter, too. He built up a restaurant over there in Little Tokyo. Built the menu. Built a physical restaurant himself, and he's coming by. We're going to talk a little bit about food, the ramen culture, and music and this and that. Thank you so much for coming by again, loved ones. This is Neighborhood Love Radio. I'm going to start you off with Hednotic. Artist, producer, Hednotic. Ponderance is the name of the tune. Enjoy. Mary in Black, who knows is the name of that tune. Eric Lenini and the Afro Jazz Beat. Coming to you from Anti Prima Records. Belgian band, enjoy.
I love
Satch and his Atomic Dance Band of ABBA. Some Nigerian deep groove for you. That's from the Alakabe. That's the name of the tune and the name of the record, Alakabe. Before that, we heard Eric Lanini and his Afro Jazz Beat Band from Belgium. Winter Heron was the name of that tune. And before that, Marianne Black, Who Knows? It's from 1970, that one. Pretty deep. And he's, that dude's got a deep voice, man. He's interesting. And then we started off the set, Hednotic, artist and producer, Hednotic. And Ponderance was the name of that song from the Junk Drawer Volume 1 record out in 2013. That brings us up right to present time. I'm here with Jason Easton. What's up, man?
How you doing today?
Really good. Jason is a ramen chef, restaurateur, and also a carpenter. He also physically built the restaurant as well. Is that right?
Yep. Did the whole kit and caboodle.
Manichi is over there on First Street over there in Little Tokyo.
Yes, between Alameda and Judge Sal.
Yeah, 321 and a quarter, First Street, Los Angeles and Little Tokyo, 90021. We'll be announcing the restaurant a couple times. You can also find him on Facebook too, Manichi Ramen. Does that sound right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I actually encountered Jason. I was walking around Little Tokyo, as I do once in a while, and just wandered in. And Jay came right over and said, "Hey, how you doing? We're still in our soft opening. Hope everything's all right, you know, and what are you having?"
That's the customer service we want to give.
Yeah, it's true. I was just meant right with friendliness. I mean, the owner's right there shaking hands, you know what I mean? And running back and forth to the kitchen.
The only way we can do it.
So tell me a little bit, without getting in your specific background, because I want to know about that a little bit later, but why ramen?
Well, as a little bit about ramen is that I was never into ramen. I'm a general contractor at heart for 16 mm-hmm. years, and just two years ago, a ramen chef came up to me and said, "I want you to work and take my label to America." Mm-hmm. And he pursued me for 4 or 5 months, and I was so adamant about, no, I'm a contractor, and so, I stick with construction.
So he just saw something in you?
He saw something in me that uh-huh. he liked, and he pursued it. And since then, it's been a great roller coaster. I've learned a lot about the ramen industry. I learned a lot about becoming a chef, learning how to cook. I cook at home, but this is a grander scale to it. But definitely, without his persuasion, I probably wouldn't be doing this right now.
And ramen to me, all right, here's what I noticed, and I hope nobody finds this offensive, but it's just an observation, okay? East versus West. The West seems to be a little bit more, I don't want to say fast-paced, but a little bit more on the innovation side.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's just done. It just moves on to something else. And correct. The East seems a little bit more about intent on perfection.
Yes.
And you can see that in the artwork. Some of the artwork from Japan and China and, you know, all across the Eastern continents in Asia is scale, balance, and proportion is largely the same as it's been for hundreds, even thousands of years.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean the technology or the techniques have changed. It's just, you know, the core look of it. So speaking to a carpenter, mm-hmm. you know, how does that, is that something that appealed to you, or was that, something you started to read? I mean, you're American.
I'm American born. So yeah. When I see the Japanese and how intricate and how all of the East is very particular in the work that they do and the art that they portray, mm-hmm. then of course, as an American, we get interested in that perfection.
Yeah.
And of course we want to strive for it. But they give that perfection in everything they do, from the quality of the food to the service to the artwork on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
It is very, very much done with perfection and with uttermost care.
Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about the food, let's just get down to it. Let's talk about what the people want to hear. You know?
All right.
I like ramen. Mm-hmm. I couldn't say I'm an expert, but I eat it, you know, as you may be able to tell. I eat it enough. Tonkotsu. Mm-hmm.
Tonkotsu broth is originally from Kurume, which is where our store is from, established in 1953. Ramen's such a young thing. People really don't know. Ramen only came around post-World War II.
Really?
Yeah, and ramen only became popular because of instant ramen. And instant ramen only became popular because of one police case in Japan where the police officers were on TV mm-hmm. and they were eating cup of noodle. Mm-hmm. And when the rest of Japan saw that, they're like, that looks delicious. And bam, came instant ramen.
Yeah.
After that, Nissin took off with ramen and the industry grew to what it is today. And right now, the industry's booming.
Here's the funny thing about Top Ramen. I think most people in America can read. Like, Top Ramen is one of those guilty pleasures. And it's a sort of a... it's an admission of guilt in that things aren't always going the way you want them to go.
True.
It's associated
true,
with that.
True, because you are buying Top Ramen. It is one of the cheapest meals
but
out there.
Delicious.
But it is delicious.
And if you ever hear people talk, this is what I always thought was funny, was people go, oh, man, I don't just eat the ramen. I trick it out. You got to eat it like I put this and I put that in there. And what I always thought, even as a youngster, is like, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do, man.
Yeah.
Look at the picture.
You know? It's fully, I mean, if you look at the picture ramen, they have lots of ingredients, mm-hmm. lots of topping, and it is artwork.
Mm-hmm.
The way we plate, the way we top our ramen, we want to make it look presentable to you in a way that, wow, that looks delicious to eat, but yet it looks like he put time into it.
But, all right, let's talk about that then, the time. Because I think you guys do like a 10-hour broth?
We do a 20-hour broth.
20-hour broth.
Yeah, we cook it from the morning from 6 a.m. till the time we close at 12.
Well, we don't have 20 hours to talk about it, but can you kind of run through it?
Well, basically, we do a two-time reduction of our bone broth because in Japan, they basically just boil down one reduction.
Uh-huh. We're talking about what? What kind of bones?
We're talking about pig bones, okay. Pork bones, because... Yeah. Tonkotsu broth is a pork-based broth.
Mm-hmm.
And to get the best flavors out of the pork, everyone uses the bones.
Mm-hmm.
And we do a double reduction where it's called the oshibori, which is we have one old base going, and we have the new one that we keep introducing bones to. And then we filter them both together as keeping the old with the new.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like our traditional broth is being innovated with the new toppings of black garlic and the karamisu. It's kind of the same thing because we're using the old stock and we're reviving it.
Mm-hmm.
We're reviving it with new stock.
What else goes in there in the beginning stages?
In the beginning stages, well, it's just simple ingredients, bones and water and the breakdown of that. And then, as of course, we have our recipe of seasoning, which we can't give over the air.
Okay. But we'll talk about this. I mean, obviously, like, shiitake mushrooms, things like that, well, aren't necessarily secrets.
Well, those don't go into the broth.
Okay.
Those would become toppings or add-ons.
Okay.
But the broth is strictly, if you go to a tonkotsu restaurant, it would be strictly pork bone based. Mm-hmm. And that is a traditional way of cooking that kind of soup, mm-hmm. is to get it down and boiling down the bones and getting the flavor out of the bones, mm-hmm. which is where most of the flavors of the best soups come from. Mm. You know, and it creates a nice, I would say, complex layering, because you get both the bone flavor and the marrow along with the meat. So it's a real good flavor.
And it makes me hungry. We're going to come back and talk in a couple minutes. First up, some West Coast pop luck. I'm going to follow it up with Alice Russell. Enjoy.
playing hard and cruising the boulevard.
Leaning, feeling,
and you won't be dreaming. That's what it's all about. Get up, shake your booty and bust your soul. Get up, get up, shake your booty and bust your soul. Get up, get up, shake your booty and bust your soul. Get up, get up, shake your booty and bust your soul. Shake your booty and bust your soul.
With my eyes closed, with all my
Russell, Twin Peaks from the True Thoughts 15 record. That's a collection on True Thoughts Records. Next up, the Lions from Los Angeles. W-L-I-O-N. From Los Angeles. That's from their new record, Soul Riot, out on Stone's Throw. You can check out more of their stuff, get the record, check out more of their tunes on thelionsreggae.com. Before that, we heard Alice Russell, Twin Peaks, on the True Thoughts record label. And we start off the set, Ronnie Hudson. You know that tune. We all know that tune, West Coast Pop Lock. Yeah. Sitting here with Jason Easton. Shooting the shit about family, life, and of course, food. You're American-born, yep. Of first-generation American, second.
First-generation Chinese, Japanese American.
Sorry, I had a mic difficulty there. And where do you come from? Where did you
Born and raised in Las Feliz.
Okay.
Little Las Feliz kid. Grew up in Griffith Park. Did all the pony ride and the trains.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Every weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, I'm still surprised by how many people that are from Los Angeles have no idea about the old LA Zoo.
Oh, yeah. You know,
that little weird alcove there. Like super creepy, rapey part of the park.
Yeah, you know? And the back end of it.
Yeah. Great place for photos, man.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful, beautiful park. No one really realized how big it is. It's huge.
Did you grow up... Now, we all grew up, you know, being in L.A. I always joke about being in L.A. like you're just kind of part Chicano culturally, like everybody.
Yeah.
Did you come from a multicultural family?
Well, multicultural in the sense of my dad being Chinese and my mom being Japanese. That was difficult.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was two different cultures, especially in the 70s. And you know, the history between Chinese and Japanese, it was a little bit different. But we grew up with both cultures in our life, so it was good.
That's cool.
And, of course, the Los Angelino style, you know?
Did they meet in L.A.?
They met in L.A.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't want to make any assumptions about age groups or something. Did that go... were they kids in L.A.?
Well, my dad's from a large family. My mom's from a smaller family.
Okay.
But they grew up, both of them outside of, you know, met here in America.
Uh-huh.
So they're the first ones here.
Yeah. But I mean, were they here when they were kids?
Oh, no. My mom came when she was 18. My dad came when he was 12.
Okay. I was just thinking about, like, hopefully your pop missed all of the bullshit, you know, the post-war bullshit.
Oh, well, he was almost drafted into the Vietnam War because of his birthday and stuff, but he missed a draft by a couple days, so he was very lucky. But he was here during that whole experience.
Yeah. And so when you, how can I ask this? Did you feel like a... Did you identify with any other culture, or are you just like just another kid from Los Feliz skateboarding or whatever?
I identified myself always as an American.
Yeah.
As, you know, as American as apple pie. We didn't speak any Chinese or Japanese at home. We spoke pure English. Mm-hmm. Everything we did was we celebrated all the American holidays. I would say I grew up totally with the mentality of being American, especially when I travel and come back to America. I thank God I'm an American.
I work in the remodel trade, and so there's two types of contractors that I know of, people who love to be creative with their hands and like to make, they, you know, artists in a sense.
Craftsmen.
And people who just ended up doing it.
Yeah, those guys have no passion in it, and they're the ones who hurt the industry.
Yeah.
It's the true guys who have the craftsmen and the care into their work that really shows out through their product. And that's the most important thing.
As far as your restaurant interiors, how much of a hand did you have that? As far as picking, you know, scale, balance?
I did everything. I did everything from the paint swatches to the color of the wood to the wood type I would like to use in my bench, along with how high the bench is, the angle that you're
sitting
in. Be
specific, man. Tell us about it.
So we're looking at, like, instead of having the louvers above the people where they sit at 8.5 feet, I bumped it to 9, give it a little bit more space. I opened up the drop ceiling all the way, took it to the existing ceiling to give it that nice 14-foot high ceilings. Kept the ductwork inside, made it more industrial, modern, clean with linear lines so that your eyes don't get sore when you're looking down the wall. So
that's
basically...
True,
the way I designed it was that everything led back to the kitchen.
Yeah.
I used indirect lighting in my kitchen, allow that glow feel. Of course, allow dimming in my front half house, along with the counter, to allow that nice ambiance in the dining area.
Yeah, for sure. You know what I like too is I like these old ramen bowls in the back on the wall. Those are pretty cool. Those caught my eye.
Yeah.
You also have a lot of vintage photography.
Yes.
Around.
Yes. We have a picture of our first Yatai, which is technically a food cart in 1953. That was our first food cart in Kurume, Japan. And we also have a brick and mortar photo of our only store that we have in Kurume still, where this shop was born.
Mm-hmm.
So we have both pictures of both of the brick and mortar or the starting point of the company, which was important.
Loved ones, I'm talking to Jason Easton. He's the chef, owner, operator, builder of Manichi over on Manichi. Am I saying that right?
You got it.
And that means, if I have this correct, the translation, man of position.
Man of full. It has many different reasons because of the kanji. People can translate the kanji differently.
Mm-hmm.
And some would say it's Manchuya Ichiban, or it could be man number one, or man in position. Or even some say full, manpuku, which is full one. So they translate it in four different ways.
Yeah.
So
it all works, though.
It does. It does.
Manichi is over there on 321¼ First Street, right there in Little Tokyo in Los Angeles, 9012. You can also find them on Facebook, Manichi Ramen. And there's some photos and some cool stuff. I'm not done talking to you. I just want to make sure the loved ones know why we're talking. Let me see. Have you, and you've traveled back and forth to Japan?
I go to Japan every year for about 2 months a year.
Mm-hmm. To some of those old, super old, like, ramen shops?
Oh, man. When you go in there, there's only 6 seats and one guy chefing it up.
Yeah.
But the delicacy and the intricate work that he puts into that one bowl of ramen that he may serve only about 40 or 50 a day is awesome. It is to die for because he takes such time and care into the product where you actually can feel it. You can just feel it as you eat it.
Tell us about probably your favorite ramen, whether it has to do with the experience of the shop itself or the food itself. We got about 2 minutes left. Tell me about your favorite place out in Japan.
Out in Japan, there's so many different ramen shops. Of course, there's very hard to pick one great one, but of course, I've eaten at Rai Rai Tei, which is in my wife's hometown, and the reason why I liked it so much is because I ate it with my cousins. Mm-hmm. So it was the ambiance, the atmosphere, and the people you enjoy the food with that, to me, makes it better.
Tell us about it.
Oh, man, the way they do their pork broth is so traditional Japanese. It has a nice texture of the fat along with the oil and the thickness of the broth, and the noodles are just al dente and just perfect.
Jenny, we're going for dinner after the show, right? All right, cool. As I mentioned earlier, we're talking with Jason Easton. Manichi Ramen is over there at 321 and 1/4 on First Street in Little Tokyo. Go by, check him out. And also you can find him on Facebook, Manichi Ramen. Thanks so much for coming by, Jay.
Thank you very much.
And I'll be back. I'll see you at the restaurant soon.
Will do. Thank you again.
Love Jones, this is the perfect song, by the way. A perfect piece of music. Yeah.
To satisfy tonight, I do. Cause I'm around now. Wanna get next to you. Oh, thank you. Right now.
Reverend Al Green, I'm Moran, from the Get Next To You record out in 1971. His third record, a stellar album. Loved Ones next up is The Rebirth. They got their record release party coming up this Sunday at Riviera 31. You want to go? It's going to be pretty fun. Hosted by KG Superstar. It's free to go, but you got to RSVP. You can check it out on Facebook, The Rebirth Record Release Party, Sunday, March 1st. Find them on Facebook. This tune is called Caterpillar. Thank you. Earth. The name of the tune is Caterpillar, in their brand new record, Being Through the Eyes of a Child. Once again, loved ones, their record release party this Sunday, March 1st. Riviera 31 over there on Beverly Boulevard is a pretty nice tune. Very nice place. Very loungy. Very comfortable. Very intimate. You got RSVP for that one, so check them out on Facebook. The Rebirth Record Release Party, Sunday, March 1st. I want to thank Jason Easton for coming by. Once again, his restaurant is called Mon, M-A-N, Ichi, I-C-H-I, Mon Ichi. They're over there on First Street in Little Tokyo. Loved ones, thank you so much. I will see you next Thursday. This is Neighborhood Love Radio.